It's 5:34. This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Lily Jones. An immigration advocate detained and held by ICE in Colorado for 9 months is free again. Jeanette Vizguerra was released this week after an order from a federal immigration judge. The American Friends Service Committee says Vizguerra's family posted bail for her temporary release. The judge ruled she was not a flight risk and should not be monitored. Vizguerra has been held at an ICE detention facility in Aurora since March. She rose to national prominence during President Trump's first term when she sheltered in a Denver church. Vizguerra put out a statement before her release saying she would return home to family, but would continue to defend her values and community. Colorado Parks and Wildlife wants to boost the state's beaver population. As Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio, that's because beaver dams are increasingly important for people and other wildlife in a changing climate.
Sometimes called ecosystem engineers, beavers are considered a keystone species because of the way they alter landscapes. Their dams can prevent erosion, build drought resistance, and slow the spread of invasive species. Beaver conservation, as a result, has become a bigger priority nationwide and at CPW. Joey Livingston is a public information officer with the agency. He says beaver dams filter pollutants, hold sediment upstream, and act like a sponge of moisture for surrounding plants.
Building a dam blocks up the water that's running downstream, so that can improve the overall water that's in the area to help prevent wildfires.
Many other species also rely on the wetlands that beavers create. The agency hasn't decided where to focus beaver conservation yet, but it will likely be congregated in the western slope. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
The holiday season is often marked by celebration and togetherness, but for many who are grieving the loss of a loved one, it can be an especially painful time. Amid the holiday lights and gatherings, feelings of absence can feel even more noticeable. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KLZR's Stephanie Sear spoke to thanatologist and grief counselor Robin Olson.
Why do the holidays often intensify feelings of grief?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, the holidays are all about gathering together, right? Having your family and friends close and celebrating your traditions. And with everybody being together, it really highlights the person who has died, that they're no longer there. And the feelings that we have come more to the surface, right? We experience more sadness, more longing, perhaps, that they were there to share in what we're doing. And so the holidays, just by nature of wanting to be with everybody we love, heightens that awareness that we're separated now, at least physically, right?
What are some meaningful ways families can honor someone who's died?
Well, certainly one of the ways is to keep up the traditions, right? And to have them, in our minds and in our hearts as we continue the traditions we've always had. Or you can start a new tradition. You can start something completely different in honor of them. One of the things that I've seen happen is to have a place setting for them. At your dinner table, you still have a place setting for them to, remember that they would have been there. And then there's another ritual with which I've encountered that people use. It's called Remember When. And so it's telling stories about, hey, you remember when mom left the lasagna out on the back patio and the squirrels ate it? True story with my mom. So, it's remember when. Talk about the good times with them, all the times they made you laugh or the times you got in trouble, if it was your parent and you were growing up. Just remember when, reminiscing. That is something that can be very helpful during the holidays.
And I would think that something that you could do like on a day-to-day basis, what other things can someone do day-to-day to manage grief throughout the holidays?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You can certainly keep them in the forefront of your mind on a daily basis. I think one of the biggest things is to go easy on yourself. Take that time to breathe. Take that time to give yourself space because, grief knows no boundaries. It's not on a timeline. It kind of runs itself, and you may become overwhelmed with emotions at any point, on any day during the holiday. One of the things you can do to help manage too is to actually practice saying no. If you don't feel like going to a family gathering, that's okay. You can actually say no and say, here, here's why. You can focus on doing one thing at a time because we know the holidays are sometimes going from place to place and event to event and visiting with people. One thing you can do is plan ahead and maybe focus just on one thing a day, really organizing how you want to spend it on your own terms. Because when you do that, you're allowing yourself your own space, your own way to grieve and get through it. And I think that's most important is honoring your own feelings towards the person who passed.
So, what advice would you give to anyone who wants to support a grieving friend, but they don't know what to say or what to do?
Well, the best thing you can do is listen, and you can start a conversation with them one of two ways. One, you can say, how are you doing right now? Sometimes when we ask, how are you doing, it's kind of open-ended and overwhelming. But when you add the qualifier, how are you doing right now? It brings people into the present moment and they can answer that. The other thing is, tell me a story about your husband who passed, name the person's name and then just listen to what your grieving friend has to say. Sitting in receiving their story makes them feel heard and it acknowledges what they're going through. And we really don't have to say anything. Just being a listener is sometimes the best support we can offer someone.
So, what about people who are facing the holidays without much support?
Very good question. And sometimes we don't want to be around someone too, even if we do have support. But if you don't have much support, you can think about how you want to honor the person who has passed. If you want to do that, you could start your own tradition or your own ritual just by yourself and keeping that person in your heart and your mind. Another thing you could do is volunteer. Go out and volunteer. If you don't have friends or family in the area and you're alone, go to your senior center or go to a place where there's meals served. Offer to deliver meals to people. Often, when we can give back, that helps alleviate our grieving as well. We're sharing the season with people and we're hearing their stories. And oftentimes, then we can share the stories about the loved ones that we've lost. And so, giving back is a good way to help alleviate some of that grief and isolation we could feel during the holidays.
So, looking forward, is there anything you wish more people understood about grieving during the holidays?
Yes, I mean, with grieving in general, let alone the holidays, it's okay to feel what you feel. It really is. The best thing about during the holidays or grieving during the holidays is you might want to, I think what I said before, plan out what you want to do so that you know where you're going to focus your time on and that it's okay to say no if you don't feel like doing something. I think a lot of times we get wrapped up in other people's expectations of us, but it's most important to take care of how you feel about what's going on right now during the holidays. And with the heightened awareness of the loved one being gone, it's important to take care of your own feelings and your own self.
Robin Olson, a thanatologist and grief counselor, was speaking with KLZR's Stephanie Sear. That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KDNK. This Christmas marks the 70th anniversary of the NORAD Santa Tracker, based in Colorado Springs. The tradition began in 1955 after a newspaper ad accidentally printed the wrong number for a Call Santa hotline. Instead of reaching the North Pole, children were connected to the Operations Center of the Continental Air Defense Command, NORAD's predecessor. Major Jenny Durenzis with the Canadian Armed Forces, who also serves with NORAD, says one of those calls was answered by Air Force Colonel Harry Shoup, the commander on duty that night.
He was the commander on duty that night, and he was quick to realize that, this mistake had been made, and while he could not connect this youngster to Santa, was able to say, you know what, hey, we have all that technology and capability to let you know where he is right now, on his journey across the globe. So thus began a very magical tradition.
I'm Marilyn Gleason.
And I'm Lily Jones.
And we just wanted to wish you from the KDNK News team a warm and wonderful Christmas.
Have a happy holidays and a fun and safe new year, and we'll be back in 2026 to bring you all the local and regional news.